Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
But this morning, it's my privilege to be able to bring the message as we come to our family service. Great to have the kids in with us. I'm only going to speak for a short time. But families are amazing things, are they not? They're dynamic. And just as we begin, I'll ask the ushers. We've got some wristbands today that we were going to pass out, and they've got smiley faces on them, and they're very cute, lots of different colours. Don't fight over the colours you get. With these wristbands you get, I don't want you to put them on, but at the start, I want you to actually write on them. If you haven't got a pen, there's some pens in the buckets that will come past as well. I want you to write on there a prayer that you might have for yourself or for someone you know. And a little bit later on in the service, I'm going to explain what we're going to do with these wristbands. So thank you, ushers, as you hand those out. As I said, I've just been away on holidays, and I very much enjoyed that. And while I was away, I came across this box, and it had quite a profound statement on it. And if you can put that up on the back screen for me, it says there, "If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together." Now, if you've ever tried to get a family out the door, you'll identify with this statement. If you've ever tried to go anywhere with a group of people, you'll understand if you want to go fast, then taking your family with you is probably not going to be the fastest way to get there. And I want to rearrange our thoughts. A family is not just a mum and a dad. Today, when I talk family, I'm talking about family of God. If we want to go far, then we need to learn to go together. Some of the best memories I have, some of the greatest achievements I've done hasn't been when I've done something by myself. It's been when I've done it with other people. It's been when I've had my family there to support me, whether that be my home family or whether it be my church family. My education came when I went to university because Anne was able to go back to work and release me to go and do my degree. I could not have done it without her help. I could not have done it without my children sleeping through the night. It's for me getting some sleep. So we did it together. So the first part of the statement is true. If you want to go fast, go alone. But the second part is equally true. If you want to go far, then we need to learn to go together. But that can be hard because families are full of different personalities. They're full of different character traits. Everyone has different needs. They do things differently. But as a body and a family of God, we are called to work as that body, to do it together. So how do we do that? It's frustrating sometimes when you want to go fast and you can't because you have to wait for those that are around you. But God is amazing. He has given us in His Word a template we can use. And I was reading and I've read this scripture time and time again. This is the first time that I have seen this jump out. And it's in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. So if you get your Bibles with you, you can open them to Hebrews 24 and 25. That's right, come on, oh ho ho. Very good. And this pattern allows us to actually keep in unity. Because when you're trying to do things as a family, often things can come between us. We can get let down and hurt, we can get frustrated. But God wants us to be unified because what unity commands a blessing. He wants our families to be blessed. He wants the church of God to be blessed. It also allows us to operate in love and grace. And we need more of that in every family, I think. And so it says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching." All the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I just want to touch on five words and sort of reflect on them. That gives us a flowchart that if we are to follow is going to keep us united as a family. It's going to allow us to go the distance as a family. Because I know there's always little niggles that can happen, but God has called us to be unified together, to do that journey together. And the first word I want to bring up, and guys, you can put the flow chart up behind me here, it's to consider. He wants us to consider. And let us consider. Now, consider means to think, to reflect, to study. When we consider, we're not reacting to something, rather we're responding. We're responding with wisdom. We've taken a moment to think about the other person and where they're coming from. And when we respond, we can do it with love and grace. When we react, we're often angry and harsh and frustrated. and it's instantaneous, and we can sometimes regret what's happening. We try and manipulate, but God hasn't asked us to do that. He wants us to consider not how we can manipulate someone, but how we can spur them on. If you see it up there, he wants to spur, to stimulate, to motivate, to inspire. We are called to inspire our families, to inspire our children, to inspire each other. And that's not always an easy thing to do. So that's the action he wants us, but he also gives us a direction. If you see the direction up there, it's towards love and good deeds. So we're to consider other people, how we can inspire them, to spur them on towards love and good deeds. Now that word towards infers that we're on a journey. And if you've ever traveled with a family, you've ever gone on holidays, you've ever gone any amount of distance, one of the questions you always hear in the car, and you've probably said it yourself, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And that actually gets in you, no, we're not there yet. And I just want to say, as a family of God, we're not there yet. None of us have arrived at the destination that God has for us. We are all on a journey together. And therefore, we need to consider where people are on the journey, where we're engaging with them. You know what? The journey is fun. I like the journey and the meandering you can take on the way to the destinations you're getting. They can be exciting if you let them be. But when we take and understand that we are on a journey, it allows us to let go perhaps of some of the expectations we have of others. See, when we have an expectation, we expect people to be already there, then we can be let down. We can allow hurt and offence to come in. But when we realise that people are on a journey and it may be a different place to we are, we're able to operate and respond with grace and love. We're able to protect ourselves because we see where the other person is coming from. We're not thinking always about ourselves. And that's very, very important because you don't want the expectations to lead to disappointments. We want to be able to follow this pattern. And when our expectations are in love and we realize people are on the journey, we do respond with that grace. We can come back and we can consider where they're at, how we can spur them on or inspire them towards love and good deeds. And here's the next part that's very, very important. Because I don't know about you, but when I feel I'm let down or expectations aren't met in my life, my natural reaction is actually to step back. Or it might be to push the other person away because I feel hurt or I feel like that they should have done something that I expected them to do. But that's not always the way. It says in the word here, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. We want to always come together as a community. People may aggravate you, but we shouldn't stop you from coming together, from continuing on the journey with them. Don't let that get in the way, but continue to meet together. And here's the key to all of this that ties it all together. The last word that's up there is to encourage. When you come together, he gives you what you're supposed to do. This is the response we're supposed to have. We're to encourage people along. Now, I've had a lot of experience in this just quite recently. And if you can pop the last slide up, guys, or one of the last slides. This is Timothy. Timothy is my dog. I've had him for 7 months now, and he is a Kelpie Rottweiler cross, so he's got lots of energy, and he's strong. And he likes to exert this energy and every moment he can. And if you get out there, he will. And I have expectations of Timothy that he's going to walk really well. He's going to come back when I ask him. He's going to sit. He's going to stay. He's not going to dig holes in the backyard. He's not going to bite anyone or jump up on anyone. These are all the expectations I have for Timothy. Now, do you think he's there yet? No, he's not there yet. I tell you what, my arm, I've got almost a bad back from him pulling me as we go along. And I've had to learn to engage with him. I've had to learn to encourage him along. And we took him to puppy school and they gave us one thing that we need to do. They said, stop looking at what he is doing wrong and look for what he is doing right. And when he does what is right, you need to encourage him. I have said good boy about a million times. And when I first started, it wasn't just something I had to do occasionally, but it was every 5 or 6 steps, if he wouldn't pull, good boy, and he'd pull again, and all of a sudden he'd come back, oh, good boy. And I was doing this, by the time I'd gone around the block, 30 or 40 times I had encouraged him when he had done the right thing. And guess what happened when I encouraged him? He responded to the encouragement. He started to pull less. Now, instead of separating my joint, I just get sore muscles. It's good. but it's an improvement. He's now sitting. He's coming back most of the time, unless there's another dog. Then he's gone. But he's improving. He's improving. And my expectation is that he's not going to do it all today, but that he's going to get there in the end. That I'm on a journey with him and I'm enjoying the journey. I'm enjoying seeing him go in leaps and bounds. And it's no different when it comes to each other. We need to look for praise points and not at faults. If we become a critical family, then people are not going to improve to the criticisms. We need to be an encouraging family. We need to look and see in them what they do not see. And I say this when it comes to the kids and to the youth. When you're talking to the kids and we're talking to the youth, we're lending them our belief. My belief in what I see in you. Because God has done the same for us. He said we are overcomers. He has said that we have everything that we need. He's given us all of these abilities and he speaks that into us and we need to speak it into other people. What we see in your children, in your family, I know there's characteristics. I know there is talents that you see that perhaps they can't. And the way that we can lend them our belief is by encouraging them. It's by drawing them together to not give up on them. Studies show that it takes, for every negative word you have, 5 words of encouragement to overcome that negative. It's no wonder that the Bible tells us that we have to encourage each other all the more as the day approaches. Not less, but all the more. And when they hit those teenage years, whether that's in your relationship or physically, you've got to keep encouraging them. And you might not see the fruit yet. You might not see the change, but it happens as we come together. I have one final slide, if you guys can pop that up for me. It says, people often say, from Zig Ziglar, that motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it daily. I would change that word motivation. People often say that encouragement doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it daily. And in life, as a family together, if you want to go fast, by all means, you're going to need to go alone. But if you want to go far, then we need to learn to go together. And God has given us this flowchart to be able to do that. Take time to consider those that are around us, that are doing the journey with us, how we can spur them on towards love and good deeds. Don't give up meeting together. Don't give up on the people that are around you. And encourage them every time you can. Because when we start to change our words, when we start to change our language, we'll start to change our families. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the families that you have put us in. I thank you that you've brought together such an eclectic bunch of people to work together to see your kingdom come. And I thank you that you give us eyes to be able to see them and hear them, to consider where they are, to spur them on towards the love and good deeds, the plans and the purposes that you have for them, Lord God. Help us to keep meeting together, coming to encourage with everything that we have. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.